Matthew 11:28 says, "Come to me, all who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest." Let's bow. Father, there's so much in life that can get us down, so many distractions that can get us off on the wrong path, so many things, Lord, that entice us toward evil. So Lord, help us to always choose good over evil. Always help us to look to you for our strength through Jesus, that you promise that we can do all things through Christ who gives us strength through the Apostle Paul. Lord, help us to remember these things all the time and to look to you for guidance and strength. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. I've always loved the stories in the Bible that you only read once and then that person's never mentioned again. You don't know anything else about them. The Bible doesn't go on to tell you that they lived a good, faithful life to God, or they didn't. We can just use our own imaginations, and I try to think that they became stronger and did more for the Lord, but they're just not mentioned in the Bible. They're not one of the 12 disciples or someone, one of the first of the deacons that were chosen in the book of Acts, that the Bible concentrated on them and told stories about them and where they went, what they did, and how they did it. One day I was in a Swedish American hospital, and I was going up to see Amy's dad and another gentleman, Renee from the East Oregon Chapel. Her dad was in the same hallway, almost right across the hall from each other. They were in two different rooms, probably 30 feet apart. And as I went up the elevator and I went down that hallway, I heard these words: "I love you, Lord, for your mercy never fails me all my days. I've been held in your hand." And as I walked down the hallway, I looked to my left, and there was this black lady standing in her hospital room, all clothed, ready to go home, singing. And I didn't stop at that point in time. I just kept going, and I went in and saw Russ. Saw him for a while, and then I went across the hallway and saw Renee's dad. And after visiting with both of them for a while, I left. And as I walked back by her room, she was still in there, and she was sitting on the hospital bed waiting for someone. And I stuck my head in the door, and I said, "Ma'am, I don't mean to be nosy, but I sure did appreciate your song earlier." And she picked up her phone and said, "Come on in, brother, and let's sing it again." And she pulled up that song on her phone, and we stood there in the hospital, her hospital room, singing "The Goodness of God." I don't know any more about that lady. I don't know where she lived, don't know what church she went to, don't know anything about her, if she was even from the Rockford area or somewhere else. But I do know this: she's a sister in Christ. I hope to see her again in God's kingdom. But I doubt I'll ever see her again in this lifetime because I don't know her. I don't know anything about her. I don't know her story, don't know anything about what happened to her after that. But I'd like to think that she's out somewhere singing that song, that she's sitting in a church service somewhere today praising Jesus because it's part of her story. The Bible tells us many stories about different people. In Matthew chapter 9, verse 20 and 22, we read the story about a woman. You can put that one slide up, Michael, for the duration of the service. It's about a woman who'd been bleeding for 12 years. And it's a simple few verses in Matthew, verse 20 and 22 says, through 22, "Just then a woman who had been subject to bleeding for 12 years came up behind him and touched the edge of his cloak. She said to herself, 'If only I could touch his cloak, I'll be healed.' Jesus turned and saw her. "Take heart, daughter," he said. "Your faith has healed you." And the woman was healed at that moment. The book of Mark has the same account that's much more detailed. It says that the people were pressing around him and she was thinking this thing and she was trying to reach out and she touched him. And it says in the book of Mark that she felt power leave him. And he said, "Who touched me?" And his disciples said, "Lord, what are you talking about? There's people pressing all around you. What do you mean, who touched you? Lots of people are touching you." He said, "Somebody touched me. I felt power leave." And the woman confessed, "It was me, it was me." She thought she was in trouble, so she better say something. And Jesus told her, "Take heart, daughter, your faith has healed you." We never see that woman again. We don't hear about her again. We don't see a mention of her and reminding us in Scripture who she was and what she did. I like to think that when Jesus finally came in and people were saying, "Hosanna in the highest," that she was in that crowd. She wasn't one that was there saying, "Crucify him." In another story, we read the story of Legion. I'm sorry I didn't actually put the reference down for this story. I see the verses 26 through 39, but that could be many different places, stories. It says, "They sailed to the region of the Gerasenes, which is across the lake from Galilee." So I believe from this story, they're possibly on the other side of the Sea of Galilee, in the Jordan side of the Sea of Galilee, opposite Tiberias. It says, "Then Jesus stepped ashore, and he was met by a demon-possessed man from the town. For a long time, this man had worn clothes or lived in a house, but had lived in the tombs. When he saw Jesus, he cried out and fell at his feet, shouting at the top of his voice, 'What do you want with me, Jesus, Son of the Most High God?'" This is a man filled with demons. And the demons are speaking through him. "I beg you, don't torture me." For Jesus had commanded the impure spirits to come out of the man. Many times it had seized him, and though he was chained hand and foot and kept under guard, he had broken the chains and had been driven by the demons into solitary places. Jesus asked him, "What is your name?" And he says, "Legion," he replied, because many demons had gone into him. And they begged Jesus repeatedly. The demons are begging Jesus not to order them to go into the abyss. "A large herd of pigs was feeding there on the hillside, and the demons begged Jesus to let them go into the pigs. And he gave them permission, and when the demons came out of the man, they went into the pigs, and the herd rushed down the deep bank into the lake and was drowned." Without reading the rest of the story, people around the area heard about it and came out and ran Jesus off. "Get out of here." They saw him as a troublemaker. Evidently, they were okay with people like Legion. They were okay with somebody not upsetting the apple cart. Let me tell you what. Jesus is coming back again. And he's not coming as a servant. He is coming to upset the apple cart. He is coming to be King of Kings and Lord of Lords and put to forever the evil on this planet that men and women are enticed by and hold hands with on a regular basis. We don't hear about Legion anymore. At the end of that story, Legion wanted to follow Jesus. "Let me come follow you," he said. "I want to follow you." And Jesus said, "No." Can you imagine that? "No. I want you to go home and tell the people what the Lord has done for you." There's so many, I imagine there's a lot more stories. If we would just read and read and read. There's a story about a man named Ehud, without going into the story. He was a left-handed man. They say that left-handed people are the only people in their right minds, right? Because the right side of the brain. I think that's how that works. But Ehud was probably looked at in Scripture as weak because he was left-handed. Most people are right-handed. But Ehud used that left hand to gut another man. Stories in the Old Testament, look up Ehud. You'll find it because it's the only time he's mentioned in the Bible. But one of my favorite stories, even though it's something we sing about, Zacchaeus was a wee little man, and a wee little man was he. We read the story out of the book of Luke, chapter 19, verses 1 through 10. Jesus entered Jericho. Now, Jericho is to the east of Jerusalem, about 30 miles, I'm guessing, 20 to 30 miles. Right at the top of the Dead Sea is Jericho, or that's where it was. So it's pretty low in elevation because the Dead Sea is 1,300 and some feet below sea level, the lowest spot on the planet. So we are down in Jericho. A man was there by the name of Zacchaeus. He was a chief tax collector. He was one of the bigwigs. He was like the head of the IRS and was wealthy. He wanted to see who Jesus was, but because he was short, he could not see over the crowd. So he had a problem, two problems. He was a tax collector. Nobody liked him. Nobody likes the IRS. Nobody likes the guy that comes and takes your money, especially more money than you're supposed to take. And he was short. The Bible says he was short. We say in the song he was a wee little man. He wanted to see who Jesus was, but because he was short, he could not see over the crowd. So he ran ahead and climbed a sycamore tree to see him, since Jesus was coming that way. He knew Jesus was coming. He knew he had an interest in Jesus. He knew things that he had heard about him. And his curiosity got the best of him. He climbed a tree. When I went to Israel with my dad, we weren't in Jericho, but we were... Should have brought this picture with me. It's not that sycamore trees don't grow around here. But anyway, trying to remember the name. It's right by Tel Aviv. It's the place where Peter was having his vision of the sheet let out of heaven. He was on the house of Simon the Tanner. That's where I was at, in that area. And somebody actually has a house there with a sign on it that says, House of Simon the Tanner. Now, we know it was right by the Sea of Galilee, the Mediterranean Sea, and right behind that house was the Mediterranean Sea. Whether it was really Simon the Tanner's house or not, 2,000 years later, is beyond me. I sincerely doubt it, because when you're in the Jerusalem, there's a lot of doors that say, this door leads to the upper room where Jesus had his Last Supper. Well, there's a bunch of those doors, and probably none of them are the upper room. But there was a sycamore tree there, and I took a picture of it because it just reminded me of Zacchaeus. It says, when Jesus reached the spot in verse 5 of Luke chapter 19, he looked up and said to him, Zacchaeus, come down immediately. I must stay at your house today. So he came down at once and welcomed him gladly. All the people saw this and began to mutter, he is going to be with the guest of a sinner. But Zacchaeus stood up and said to the Lord, look, Lord, here and now I give half of my possessions to the poor. And if I have cheated anybody out of anything, I will pay back four times the amount. I don't know but if Zacchaeus had a bunch of money invested in Bitcoin or not, but he'd made a lot of money with his money. And he was willing to give half of it back to the poor, and if he cheated anybody, give them four times as much back. And Jesus said to him, today salvation has come to this house, because this man too is a son of Abraham. We know from the Apostle Paul, he said in the book of Galatians, if you belonged to Christ, you're Abraham's offspring and heirs according to the promise. That promise that someday Jesus said, when God said to Abraham, look northward, southward, eastward, westward, all this land I'm going to give to you is an everlasting promise. And Jesus said to him, today, salvation's come to this house because this man, too, is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man came to seek and to save the lost. We never hear about Zacchaeus again. He's one of those stories. He just isn't talked about. We don't hear about Zacchaeus going to Mesopotamia or going to some obscure land to preach the word. We can only assume in our minds that he kept that strength, that he became closer to Jesus. He became closer to the risen Christ later on in life. But I want to look, dissect this a little bit more. So we can see in the story that Zacchaeus had some problems. He was hell-bent on making money, even if he had to cheat his... He most likely was a Jew, and he had to collect money from his other Jewish friends and neighbors and even cheat them. So he was not a liked individual, and he was doing, in sense, being evil. And his other problem was just that of his stature. He was short. We can look at this story and say to ourselves, because we should be able to look at our own lives and go, well, all of us are inherently evil. All of us have something in our life that isn't right, that keeps us from doing what we can, should be doing for God, because our carnal side of us, the side of us that you just pick out the sin in your own life. Pick out the weak point in your own life. Think about it. Everybody knows what their weak point is. Everybody knows. You may not want to share it, but sometimes at some point in time in life, you're going to run across another brother or sister in Christ that has the same problem. And you're going to have to make a choice. I can't sit here and let my buddy who's having the same problem I have not know that I've been struggling with the same thing. Or if you're a woman or a girl and you're having an issue and your friend, your girlfriend, is having the same issue, you can't sit there and go, I'm not going to tell my friend that I have the same problem. It is that point in time in our lives when we have issues that we have to share those things with other people so we can strengthen each other in our walk, so we all have a good outcome to our story. We want our story to be that of a good outcome, where Jesus remains King of Kings in our lives and Lord of Lords, and we help other people get there because we're not ashamed to say, I used to be where you're at. I used to do what you're talking about, and here's how I got through it. Here's what I did to get through it. We all in our own way are Zacchaeus. We know that Jesus is out there. We know he's heading our way. He wants to come see us. Are we willing to climb a tree to see him? And when he does see us and gives out the invitation to come down, I want to go to your house today. How will you respond? Are you going to stay up in the tree? No, I just wanted to see you. I don't want nothing to do with you. I just wanted to look at you. But he comes down out of the tree to be with Jesus, to talk to Jesus. And coming to know Jesus changed his life. He didn't just know about him anymore. He didn't just heard the stories. He actually went to his house with Jesus and changed who he was and how he did things. Many of you in here today have been baptized, but that was just the beginning of your decision to follow Jesus. That's just the beginning. We know that when we come to know Christ, Satan doesn't like it. Satan wants to put everything and anything in our path that would keep us from having a close walk with him. That's why I like to talk about sometimes about the Apostle Paul. How he said that in Scripture, he said that he coveted the prayers of people And he said it like this, lest I, even I, should fall from grace. He wasn't puffing himself up in those words. He knew that others had puffed him up. Others had put him on a pedestal higher than he should be. We know that from other scriptures that he talked about. People were saying, so-and-so baptized me and so-and-so baptized me, like it was important. It doesn't matter who baptized you. It just matters that you were baptized. But some people had put Paul on a pedestal, I believe. So even Paul said at that point in time that he coveted their prayers, lest I, in your eyes, even I, may fall from grace. We too have to have that same mentality, that we covet each other's prayers, that we need each other's help to keep us on the right path. Luke 18, verses 13 through 14, Jesus was speaking about a tax collector and a Pharisee on the street. And what did the Pharisee say in his prayer? He was praying, Lord, I thank you that I'm not like that guy over there. And that tax collector said this prayer, in Luke 18, verses 13 to 14, God have mercy on me, a sinner. And Jesus said, the tax collector went home justified. It was just a story. Probably true to life, because that story could depict someone like Zacchaeus. We don't know any more about that story. We just know that Jesus told the story and how that tax collector's life was changed. And I like to imagine that all those different stories in life, back in Jesus' time, those people went on to be successful Christians and followers of Christ. I don't even like the term Christian. I like the term follower of Christ. I don't like the word religion, because we can be religious about so many things. Let's be religious about following Jesus. We can see that if we turn to God through His Son Jesus and ask for mercy, that God, what God wants, a humble believer, knowing that no matter what, we're undeserving. No matter where you're at in life, we're undeserving of the blood that Jesus shed. The blood of Jesus is only the thing that matters, that it covers us in all of our wrongdoings. Acts 16, 30 through 31 says, what must I do to be saved? And they replied, believe in the Lord Jesus and you will be saved, you and your household. I'm going into this for a reason. Believe. I know I've said it before. Believe is not a word that just means I know you know something. You know that the stove is hot. So when you know the stove is hot, what do you not do? You don't touch it. You've learned. Maybe you've actually touched it before when your mom... I remember one time my mom had one of those stoves. It was a glass top stove. And yes, the burner did get a different color when it was on. But if you're a stupid little kid and it looks just a little different and you don't see a flame, I put my hand on that thing one time and I learned quickly not to do that again. Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved. Believe enough that you don't just know about Him, but you live for Him because of what He did on the cross. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. All things have passed away. New things have come. I just want you today to think about your story. Where you're at in life. I don't care if you're in elementary school or you're toward the end of life. Where are you at in your story? Are you comfortable with your walk with Jesus? Or do you still have a ways to go? Do you need to come to Him in a more profound way and let your life be more in tune with His will? Don't know where you're at. All I can challenge you to do is to think about it. Before we close today, we're going to sing a song, and we're going to be making references into the song to many Bible stories. We're going to be talking about David and Goliath. We're going to be talking in this song about God making a difference. If we go through life with this kind of thought in our mind that's in this song, God, I got this thing in front of me and I can't handle it right now. God, I need you. I need you. Then we will make it through life and we will have a good ending to our story. But if we choose to go it alone, we're fighting a battle that we can't win by ourselves. If you want to, please stand. If you just want to listen to the song, because this isn't a song we sing on a regular basis, then just listen to the song or sing along. Please stand.